You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Forrest Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Once again, text line 251-343-0106. A programming note I failed to give in the last segment. Our usual guest on Monday, Shane Stringer, state representative from Citronelle, and also Dale Jackson, WVNN, and Yellowhammer News, and another guest I will add some point over the weekend. Joining us now on the line, you hear him here this time every Friday on the program, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, how are you?
I am great. Glad to be back in South Alabama. Got to take my son to school this morning for football practice early, and you just don't know how much you miss that until you don't get to do it for months in a row.
Yeah, and then next thing you know, you're back at it. You could see the light at the end of the tunnel, right?
We are close, so we should finish up next week. Little change in plans. Typically we hold a day back to come and override, any potential governor's vetoes. But it looks like she signaled that she has no intention of vetoing anything that is on the docket, if you will. And so I anticipate us using all 3 days next week to kind of run through the tape and get as much done as we can before the clock runs out.
Well, let's talk about the clock. A few things that are getting done before the clock has run out. Kind of walk us through these some of the rule changes with the lieutenant governor and the way, I guess, floor debate is handled is my reading of it. Just to get explained.
We can run through those. I will tell you, Lieutenant Governor Angler, if I start with this, is a friend of the body and has done a great job. And you heard that on the floor, just the accolades and the members talking about him and how much we are going to miss them. He has been one of us, right? Like one of the body as much as any lieutenant governor ever has. He's been in leadership meetings. He has been in caucus meetings, all of those things. But it is worth noting that is something that is really kind of unique to Will Ainsworth. The lieutenant governor is a member of the executive branch. He's not a senator, and he's not a member of the legislature. And so the rule changes really kind of are getting things back to where the Senate is in control of the Senate and not a member of the executive branch. And so really a couple of things there with the conference committees being appointed by the pro tem for the two majority members that go on the conference committee, and then the committee on assignments, which is leadership basically, will appoint the minority member. And then, a pretty significant flex by the pro tem that everybody went along with was the committee on assignments serving at the pleasure of the pro tem. So the committee on assignments made up the majority leader, the whip, and you've got the budget chairman, as well as the pro tem in there. And that's kind of the leadership team, if you will. And previously you had to have really a super majority to move any of those folks off of their particular committee assignments. They were there, for the whole quadrennium. And now, they're going to be serving at the pleasure of the pro tem.
I guess it looks like that the way the House operates and the authority the Speaker has, the pro tem will kind of come in line with that.
Well, it's certainly increasing the power of the pro tem. And again, I think the fact that, that there was no debate, floor debate, no consternation over any of this really speaks to how much trust and faith the body, both sides of the aisle, have in Pro Tem Garland Gutcher, and what a fantastic job he's doing. I mean, look, this is just night and day from what we've seen in the past, and giving him more tools to help us all be successful and make the Senate stronger is what we all thought was a good idea. And again, both sides of the aisle, up to and including, limiting, doing some things that will make it harder to filibuster, right? And the fact that the Dems agreed to that, I think really speaks to their their trust in his leadership and ability to negotiate and move through the day and move through the calendar. He's just doing a really good job.
Well, you get these rules done. Do you still think that there's an appetite for more in the next quadrennium?
Well, there could be, right? And so that's always an option if we need to. But I think you see something simple like if you ask for the bill to be read at length, you have to stay in the well and stand at the mic. And so earlier in the week, there was a conversation about whether or not the Democrats would request the budget to be read at length. Well, we've got a computer that does that, but it would take 8 hours to do it. And when it takes 8 hours, you've burned the legislative day, and you only get 30 of them, right? And so, you know, I think when you start having those types of maybe tacit threats being made, you start seeing a response to that to say, guys, if you do this, we're going to do this. And at the end of the day, we have a supermajority. We've showed you that we will cloture ourselves, not let you take the microphone at all, not speak at all. We'll take all of the bills, your bills, off of the calendar. You know, we're going to flex if you make us, or we'll be reasonable if you'll be reasonable. And so I think every once in a while you have to make that point. I think this is a soft point being made here, but yeah, there still could be a harder point if necessary. And so it's just a balance between those two. And again, I think, you know, Gunter's temperament is really shining through here. And that is really kind of a strength through, you know, through peace, right? How do we show you that we are capable, that we know how to use the rules too, that we will flex our supermajority if you make us, but we'd rather not. And I think that's what he's done here and done a really good job with it.
Well, tell me this though, the appetite, I guess you heard what some of your House colleagues had said on the floor about the Senate and it not functioning, you know, and it always happens. Is it necessarily just a product of, hey, it's the end of the session and this is what happens? Or, you know, does this seem like something? It does seem like a relatively new phenomenon where the local bills are some of them are still dying on the vine.
Well, some of them need to die. And that's okay, right? Not every piece of legislation is good legislation. And I will tell you, you know, this is my 8th year serving in the Alabama Senate. This Alabama Senate is working better than I have ever seen. And that's not to take away from Pro Tem Marsh or Pro Tem Reed, who I've, you know, served with as well. But I'm telling you, this is firing on all cylinders. Senator Gudger and his staff are doing a very, very, very good job. And Jeff, you and your listeners know that I can have a sharp tongue and be critical and call balls and strikes when I need to. And I'm pretty judicious with my praise, but I'm heaping it here because it's deserved. We are the deliberative body. We take our time with things. If something doesn't need to pass, it won't pass. And that's okay. You don't want a legislature that is just passing every idea that comes up. That's not always a good thing. And so that's what's happening here. That's what's happening now. And that's what will continue to happen in the Alabama Senate under Pro Tem Gudger's leadership.
Well, from your standpoint, talk about the PSC bill. It had universal support in the Senate, not so much in the House, but, your vantage point, give us the pros and cons here. You know, do you think this will have the, I guess, intended impact of doing something to utility rates in Alabama?
Well, we sure hope so. And that's what it's designed to do, right? Is to, you know, we've heard from our constituents that utility rates are too high. The data indicates that utility rates are too high. Everybody's screaming that something needs to be done. And so what the Senate looked at, and in conjunction with the House, was what do we do to affect change? How do we respond to our constituents in a way that we think that will work and work long term? And so this is the solution that the House and the Senate have overwhelmingly passed unanimously in the Senate, not so much in the House. That's okay. But have overwhelmingly passed. Will it work? We'll find out. I mean, the proof is always in the pudding. Do I think that we have the right answer all the time? Do I think that, you know, that we have the perfect answer all of the time? No, not at all. But I think that this is a response, and it's certainly better than listening to our constituents who are screaming about rates and saying, we can't do anything. We're not going to do anything. And so we've put our heads together. We've come up with a solution. This is the solution. Let's put it in place. and see what the results are. My hope, my expectation is that we'll start seeing some moderation in rates.
Yeah, because I mean that's the knock here, and I guess it creates a more transparent process, and our that's the suggestion here from a lot of the proponents, but whether or not it is an impact, a direct impact on utility rates, that, I mean, is that pretty much universal thinking within the legislature that we're just paying too much in for our power bills in Alabama?
I do think that. And again, I think the data, you know, really reflects that as well. And so, you know, you have to start out, you have to put smart people, qualified people on the PSC that know what they're doing and that can focus, laser focus, not just on, hey, rates are too high and scream into the wind, but why are rates high? What is driving this? And ensure that they have the skills, knowledge, skills, and ability to affect change. You know, we'll find out. I think this is going to solve a problem. And look, if it doesn't, we'll do something else. But we are trying to affect that change and to make things better for the people of the state of Alabama. What's unacceptable to me is we didn't get what we want. This isn't, you know, what we think it should be. And so we're not going to do anything. And the people of Alabama continue to suffer. We're sent to Montgomery to make tough decisions, informed decisions, learned decisions based on facts and data. That's what the Alabama Senate did. That's what the Alabama legislature did this week.
Why now? Like, where did this? Because it's not necessarily a question, I guess, for you guys in the Senate. Because I feel like the proposal you made, or not you, the general you, was reacting to what the House had done. But it comes at a time when we were coached up to think the session was going to be a mundane, you know, obligatory blocking and tackling session. No one had PSC reform on their bingo card. And, you know, it gets done, obviously, but where did this come from?
We've talked before about the very real and demonstrable concern about outside moneyed groups that are trying to influence further Alabama's power rates so that we are less competitive on a national stage. And when you see the data, the facts on that, It is really scary when you have folks from outside the state, sometimes outside the country, trying to figure out ways to influence negatively, right, to raise Alabama's utility rates so that we're not nearly as competitive. They are jealous of our success. And so we that was the catalyst for this, along with, of course, our constituents saying, hey, you know, this continues to be a problem, and we continue to see rate increase after rate increase, and this is not okay. We got to get this under control. And so the likelihood of having candidates that may be influenced by the outside money, either this session or this quadrennium or future ones, the continued increase with rates based on who's in there now, we needed to make sure we were answering our constituents and responding to them and being responsive to their needs. And that is what we've done here. And why?
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program, our show's returning champion. One more thing here. Your bill to reform archives and history, and I get to forgive me, I haven't been keeping up with it, but what's the latest on that?
So it is ready for the Senate floor next week. And by it, I mean Representative Jamie Keel's House version of the bill. So he was able to get it through the House with some amendments, and it is through committee, and it is ready for the Senate floor. And so I, you know, it's as close as it's been before, and I am optimistic that it will receive final passage. We just don't need to continue to have boards that simply appoint themselves. That's crazy, and it makes government less responsive to the people when there's not a clear path back to the people, which is where all authority and power is derived. And so that's what we need to do, whether that's libraries or self-appointing archives and history board. There needs to be a clear path back to elected officials and the people that elect them.
I think you dealt a blow to it, the occupational licensing and the boards therein. That push there, obviously, it's a much different landscape than what it was at the beginning of the quadrennium. But where does it go from here?
Well, we've got a piece of legislation that's still pending in the House. I remain optimistic that we can do that, that kind of sets up a catch-all entity to handle administrative services for some of these boards. But, Jeff, when you've got lobbyists, registered lobbyists, acting as executive directors of these boards, which are state agencies in and of themselves, I just need, you know, you and listeners to think about how unbelievably incestuous that is. You've got lobbyists serving as executive directors of state agencies. How in the world did we allow this to happen? And so we need a vehicle and a mechanism for the Sunset Committee as we continue to look at these boards and reauthorize these boards. If they're having problems with their administrative functions, if they're not handling the money the correct way, if they're not doing what they're required to do by law, then there's a mechanism and a manner in which to get that under control, and that's what we continue to try to do. Now, shining light on this, showing what some of the problems are, has certainly gone a long way to rein this in already. I mean, it's like roaches scattering when you turn the lights on. They've already shaped up because they know if they don't, we'll take legislative action. We'll stick them underneath some other particular licensing board or some other state agency, which we've done. And then the gravy train runs out for the particular lobbyist who's running the board and making money off of it.
Senator, we'll leave it there. We always appreciate your time. We'll do it again next week, hopefully under a celebratory theme of no more trips to Montgomery.
I think that's a sure thing, and I will look forward to it, sir.
All right. Say Senator Chris Elliott there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.